Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. Scammers, stop trying to scam Seth, all right?
This is an interesting one. It made it through the filters on my Gmail, and it's an invoice for a $630 Netflix subscription.
Oh, my God. So, what a dummy you are for spending that much on Netflix. I only spend like $15.
Yeah, well, it's for four devices, apparently, Sean.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. They just tacked on
you know
a zero.
Which one's, the ones that I get that actually almost got me once was a toll road invoice.
Oh.
Or a toy. It was a text. I guess this is pretty common because I searched it. But at first, I clicked on the link. I was like, oh, crap. Because you're always driving through in other states. You know, you drive through toll booths. Like, you know, it might not be Easy Tag or something. So it's like you've got to call a number and you can pay afterwards.
Yep.
And I'm not always paying attention. So I've gotten legitimate invoices for those before.
Sure.
So that's where it got me because I was like, oh crap, I was driving in New York State and I must have gone through a tunnel or something that I didn't realize. And I caught myself at the last moment and Googled it. And they're like, oh yeah, that's a scam.
Oh, so you never clicked on it. That's good.
Yeah. No, okay. I clicked on it, but I didn't, when it came time to pay.
I got you.
I was like, wait a second. No, something's not right here.
Okay. Yeah. Got you. See, I'm always worried. I'm not even worried about the payment part. I'm worried about clicking on the link and it's some virus or something.
And
like
then
that.
You end up getting,
some spyware.
Luckily it wasn't that.
Spyware still a thing? Can I get infected with that? I don't know. So I
feel like pretty much I'm under surveillance 24 hours a day, and I just don't worry about it anymore.
That's probably a good way to go about life.
I try to use it as a turn-on more than anything else. If you're watching this...
Seth wants to give the people what they want.
Have you ever seen anybody clean their undercarriage quite like this before, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I got angry with the Rockets yesterday, Seth, and it was towards the end of the show. I was glad that I didn't let my anger shine through on the show. Maybe I should have. It would have been good. But this is what got me angry. So this Luka Doncic trade, perhaps you've heard of it. They're still talking about it days later. And I think it's still getting talked about. Look, it's going to be talked about through the postseason here because of the Lakers are starting to ascend. The Mavericks are turning into a bit of a disaster for all the reasons we thought they would when they made the trade, which is Luka is a better player than Anthony Davis. And oh, by the way, Anthony Davis gets hurt all the time.
Right.
And he got hurt in literally the second or third quarter of his first game as a Maverick. He got a soft tissue abductor injury, no contact, just pulls up lame, and yada, 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 he's out for a month now. You know?
Yeah, but Sean, he doesn't drink beer. So okay. There you go. Okay. So it doesn't matter that he's injured all the time. They trust that he's going to be a little less pudgy.
Than Luka, who likes his beer, reportedly. Yeah. So is this thing, man, like, there's nothing more fun than Schadenfreude, at least on this show. We're very petty on this show. We know that. As I'm watching Seth yesterday, the TV on in our studio here had, I think it was First Take that was on, and they had the caption at the bottom of the screen. and it said, are the Lakers a contender now? And I'm like, okay, that's a fair question. They've got, you know, two of the best players in basketball who I think are very, like, you know, I think they're going to find a way to mesh really well on that team. 5 minutes later, the caption at the bottom of the screen, are the Mavericks done?
So yeah, it's, so you're
like,
right.
So
yeah.
Caption-wise, this trade is going exactly how Team Schadenfreude would want it to go, okay? So you've got,
well, yeah.
So you got those two captions, right? This is all happening, like, during, as I've got my eye on the TV.
It would, mind you, they've probably just finished hashing over the question of whether Pat Mahomes is done forever as a great quarterback.
right.
You know, it just, yes.
So these are the headlines on here, are these two things. So then... then the next segment is about how it's kind of adjacent to the are the Mavericks done. They start talking about this mutiny that's going on in their arena the other night. Uh-huh. That sounded like fan Thunderdome. You know what I mean? Where fans are bringing in, they had a protest outside the arena. That happened on Saturday and at the next game. People holding up Fire Nico signs for Nico Harrison, the GM of the Mavs. People getting kicked out for holding up Fire Nico signs, which would seem to be a somewhat of a, I guess it's not, I mean, free speech. I guess the Mavericks are the government in that building. So they say, nope, that qualifies as you violating the NBA fan code. There's an NBA fan code out there. There was yelling going on between fans and Mark Cuban, who's always been a pretty fan-friendly owner. He's pointing at Mavericks fans, telling him, shut the F up and sit the F down. There's videos of that out there. They're booing, raining boos down on the new owner of the Mavericks. This, I forget his last name, but he's part of that Adelson group that bought the team. They're booing him. I mean, it is crazy in and out of that arena. Are the Mavericks done? Are the Lakers contenders now? And then the coup de grace, the cherry on top of the sundae, is that during the next break, ESPN plays an ad for Anthony Davis's new prank show that debuts on February the 16th. From the makers of Impractical Jokers, you have Anthony Davis, I forget what the name of it is, like Fouled Out or something like that. But it's this prank show, and they're showing the commercial, and Anthony Davis in street clothes doing pranky things to people with a big smile on his face, which if I were a Mavericks fan would just make me livid. I know he taped all this stuff before the season and when he was a Laker, I'm sure. But there's something, it's almost like when the Astros are playing horribly and then an HEB commercial comes on, and I'm like, I am so mad at Bregman and Altuve right now. I don't want to see them driving through the countryside with each other.
Yeah.
So you have all this stuff going on, right? Like, this thing cannot be going worse for Dallas and better for the Lakers. And this is where I'm angry at the Rockets. Is that the one thing that let the Mavericks up off the mat through this whole saga since that tweet came out from Shams about this trade two Saturdays ago was the Rockets laying down for the Mavericks. The only good thing that's happened to them this whole last 10 days.
You could have made it that much more
miserable.
Could have
made it that much worse. And
it would have been perfect because it would have been a team that has a lot of young core and it'll be a team that you're contending with in the future.
Yes, yes.
Could you have just done that?
It reminded me, and then I got mad at the Texans. Because you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the Jets loss, where the Jets were terrible this year. And the one good day the Jets had all year was that Thursday night, Halloween, second half, Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers for 30 minutes of football, and that was it. And so I got mad because of the Doncic trade yesterday.
I'll tell you what.
I'm mad at the Rockets,
so,
and I'm mad at the Texans.
Angry at the Rockets and the Texans jointly, and that's become a running theme with the Texans over the last couple years. It's, man, at some point, you got to figure out a way to beat the Titans at home.
Right.
You got to figure out a way to beat the Jets on the road.
Yeah.
You got to be able to figure out a way to beat last year's version of the Panthers. Like, all these things,
Falcons,
where they play their worst games versus the worst teams.
Yes.
Yeah. That is very, very frustrating.
Yes. So I got reminded of that because of how bad the Doncic trade has been going for the Mavericks. The one time that they got let up off the mat was a Houston team doing it. And you got to stop Houston teams. You got to stop giving hope to these hopeless teams, even if it's in small little spurts.
I forgot. I sent you the audio, but I didn't send it to Ben, so we'll play it in a future segment here. One of the most entertaining things to come out of this was Stephen A. Smith suggesting to Brian Windhorst that the Lakers should, if they really want to go for it, they should sign Dwight Howard, who's I think still playing in China at this point.
Hasn't been in the NBA for years. Windhorst tore him up over that.
Windhorst looked so frustrated. It looked like Windhorst was going through the crisis of conscience that I think Dan Orlovsky is going through right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, Dwight, I want to be taken seriously. And I don't, look, Orlovsky has some goofy takes at times, but I feel like he's trying like hell to actually base it on analysis and everything. Yep. Where there's a part of ESPN where it's just say the most ludicrous thing you can imagine and we'll get clicks for it and then we'll pat you on the butt and give you a lot of money.
And give you $18 million a year.
Yeah.
That's So yeah, the Doncic trade could not be going worse for Dallas. Man, why'd you have to do that, Rockets? Why'd you have to do that? Why'd you have to play me like that? Hey, in my building yesterday, I'd never seen this before. Somebody got evicted across the hall from Amy and I.
Yeah,
and that's happened. I've seen, like, we've had evictions in the building before. A very noteworthy other one on our hallway. Things are popping on our hallway. We live in a nice building, and yet we've had two evictions in the last year right across the hall from us in two different apartments. This one yesterday, though, was this girl lived in the apartment across and two doors down from us, and she'd lived there a long time. We saw her once. I saw her once. She ordered, like, takeout every meal. You walk past her door, there was takeout in front of her door all day long.
Yeah.
She wasn't fat or anything like that. The one glimpse I got of her was when she opened the door to grab some of her takeout, and she was actually only in her bra and panties grabbing the takeout and went back inside. Maybe she's an OnlyFans model. I have no idea. At any rate, she, at some point in the last few weeks, there's an eviction notice that wound up on her door with, like, a drop-dead date of be out of here by such and such a date.
Yeah.
I think she had been gone already. She's not in there because that...
She just up and run off.
But they, so yesterday was the day, 11 a.m.
Yeah.
February the 11th, we are coming for you. And so the constable comes in and they take some guys that work in the building. And I go out in the hallway to go down to the gym at like 1 o'clock, and all of her stuff is in the hall. Like, all of her stuff. Our hallway looks like a flea market. It's just
right, yeah. I was kind of surprised when you showed me the video. It took me a second to process it. Like, oh, wait a second. This is just, yeah, because it's not like a house where they can put everything out on the street.
It's in the hallway.
It's just all lined up in the hallway.
It's in the hallway. So I sent the same
video.
And
it was nice stuff.
Yeah, the same.
I felt like she could have pawned off at least half of that and come up with a month's rent at least.
Exactly. That's what I said. It was funny. I sent the video to Amy, and the very first thing you see in the video is a couple of bar stools, which she wanted. But then on one of the bar stools, it was apparently a very nice purse, like a very expensive purse.
Yeah.
And Amy's like, grab the purse. And I put the video on the group text with Amy and Vanessa Richardson. And the two of them are going back and forth like, yeah, girl, go get that purse. Like, they're egging each other on to just go start taking stuff. As it turns out, they ended up cleaning out the hallway by the end of the day. As it turns out, Amy looked up the rules.
Yeah.
I.e. the law. And apparently we could have just taken some stuff if we wanted to.
Wait, if somebody gets evicted and the stuff's just sitting out there on the street, never, listen, everybody, this is not some poor struggling single mother who was on welfare or anything else like that. Like, it was, it's a nice apartment building. He's not robbing from the poor to feed his own rich mouth.
No.
So you're allowed to just take whatever's sitting on the outside?
This is what Amy told me as we were sitting down watching television last night. She Googled it. So this is not legal advice. Nor is this advice for you, for all of you to drive around town finding eviction notices and then sitting out there in a lawn chair waiting for them
Don't
to empty
Don't be following
the house.
Sean up into the elevator, okay?
That's right. But Amy, she was kind of mad. She's like, God, I could have grabbed that purse right there.
And it was gone by the time she realized
gone, yeah. It was. Yeah. And I don't think people had come cherry-picking stuff. There were literal, like, guys at work in our building that are maintenance guys in our building were literally taking things to the freight elevator and moving them downstairs. Maybe it's still in the building. Maybe they're all just all the stuff sitting down there in the
Maybe
in
the
docking bay.
Guys got a good chunk of it. That'd
they
be a
should.
Nice little
you know what?
Christmas bonus.
I would be in favor of that. Anybody that does stuff that I wouldn't do, like moving things, I'm like, dude, take what you want, man.
Was there any way Amy could tell whether it was a real or counterfeit purse?
Probably not. Probably not. But I would say based on A, the building this woman was living in. And B, the rest of her stuff, which was pretty nice.
Yeah.
And it was probably real, if I had to guess.
I should have asked you to grab some stuff.
Yeah, what did you think? Did you see anything? A nice TV there. They had a couple...
Yeah, the TV looked nice. I refuse to quit my television, despite how all screwed up it is with all its COVID chips in there and everything.
You got a bad television.
Bought a TV in 2020 like an idiot. Just supply chain issues. Yeah.
The other eviction we had was the apartment right next to that one, and it was some kid who was probably in his early 20s who was clearly his parents were paying for that apartment. Like he had no job. He wasn't, you know, he's, you could smell the weed coming out of the apartment. There were people dropping by his apartment who were probably buying weed from him. Like the people, those of us living on the hallway got on him quick. Like
there were a lot of people coming in all the time.
And you can smell the weed out in the hallway. Like, all right, this ain't that kind of building, man. So we got on him quick, but dude, it takes a long time to get somebody evicted from a from an apartment building.
Yeah.
It's a process, man. Like we were talking.
Well, I guess you don't know for sure that his parents were paying for it if it was also, I mean, you can make a pretty good living as a drug dealer,
I'm told. You can. Yeah. Here's where we found out. Well, the people in the building
for a little while at least.
The people in the building, I talked to some of the people, the leasing agents and stuff. They told us his parents were paying. Like eventually it came to light, and eventually when they were evicting him and all his stuff was getting put in the hallway, his mom was there. And she was like apologizing to me as I'm walking down to the end of the hallway to my apartment.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we've had a lot of drama on our hallway, man.
Maybe you could have been a mentor to the young fella.
No, I don't think so.
Did you ever try to take him under your wing and just like, hey, man, listen, this you just want to maybe make some different decisions in life?
Never did. I got three of my own and who aren't nearly as dysfunctional as they. They're not dysfunctional at all, thankfully. But like, no, I got enough on my plate already. No.
When she was okay, so let's go back to this. You said that she was you caught sight of her. Picking up
one time,
grabbing the food while she was in her bra and panties.
Yeah, she opened the door.
How long had you been parked in the hallway waiting for that moment?
Only like 30 or 35 minutes. Not too long.
Did you make eye contact with her?
I quickly turned my eyes away. Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't an accident. She'd been waiting for you to come out. Maybe she'd been parked inside
the
people.
I'm the one that people in that building are waiting for.
Yes.
they got a.
She might have been looking at the very least, like, okay, maybe she was looking to try to bilk you out of some dough or something.
Maybe.
You know?
Maybe. She had.
Did she grab it quick and duck inside, or did she kind of linger?
She
kind of
was uncomfortable
contents?
As well. It was a, okay. Yeah. There would have been a lot of sweet talking that would have needed to go on. We started off very uncomfortably.
The worst thing about accidentally seeing a woman in a position like that is that feeling of like you feel like a creep even though you're 100% innocent.
Right.
You're like, you feel like somehow either she's going to think that you were trying to or that you just feel that way. You're like, ah, crap, I shouldn't be looking at this. It was like 0.2 seconds.
And it's the only time I ever like ran into her in the building at all. When I tell you she was shut in there just ordering takeout all the time, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah,
you're right. I do wonder if I ever ran into her a second time, would I have been like in the elevator where you've got to stand there with just them for an extended period of time? How would I have handled that? Probably would have just turned to her and said, "You look pretty good. You looked all right." Yeah,
I was in college once. I was walking into, we were around the athletic facility, and I had to go get a piece of equipment, so I just flung a door open to go grab this thing into what I thought was going to be a dark room, and it was like four female student athletes getting their body fat checked.
Oh, Jesus.
They were in their undergarments, and I think I was by far the most mortified of all of them. one of them actually came out a couple minutes later and was like, Seth, it's okay, it's no big deal. I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I swear, I'm sorry.
You should have stayed there and played a little game. Is the number correct?
Yeah. I'll tell you gals what your body fat is.
Yeah.
The old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
By shaming you.
That's right.
Hey, you there, fatty in the corner.
That's right.
What are you even doing with your life?
You got the doctor there going, Mary's is 12.4%. Seth's like, ah.
I did the old sorority girl thing. I like circled the problem areas.
Yes. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Of all players to, I think, give the perfect description of C.J. Stroud, and his leadership style was Derek Stingley Jr. on the Pivot podcast. This is, I think, the best description of why C.J. Stroud is who he is for the Texans. We'll have that for you coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, next segment, 8:45, the beef coming from the Super Bowl that we did not see coming at all.
No.
Some drama on Bourbon Street that I'm excited to recap.
An impressive display of a guy keeping himself in the public eye.
Yes.
Long after anybody thought he would be. Yeah.
Indeed. We'll do that next segment. So Derek Stingley Jr. was on the Pivot podcast. Man, there's been, for someone who doesn't talk very much and speaks in very short sentences, you know, Derek Stingley Jr., super smart, but just very quiet. Boy, he had a lot of good stuff to say on there. We played some of it last week. I thought this was really good. They asked, Ryan Clark asked him about CJ you know, kind of going backwards this year statistically. And I thought Stingley's answer as to why that it didn't really seem to matter to Stingley and CJ's teammates was really, really good. Here was Derek Stingley Jr.
You know, from the outside, like, you see stats and you see, oh, this person did this 1 year and then the next year it really wasn't that. But, you know, like, on the team, like, we don't see it. Like, we see him go out there, like, and he competing with every fiber of his being. Like, he going to go out there and he going to make something work. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what's going on. Like, hey, I don't know, he can be knocked out. He's still going to try to throw the ball for a touchdown, like, all that. So I don't see nothing negative stuff from his first year to his second year. Like, he's a competitor. Like, he going to go out there and do what he got
to
do.
That to me, Seth, illustrates probably the biggest disconnect maybe between people on the outside and people on the inside. Because it's not just like CJ's getting criticized because he's making what they feel are like poor decisions with the football. Like, he more than doubled the number of interceptions, things like, statistically, he wasn't as good this season as he was the previous season. But I think Stingley certainly talks about the on-field stuff and his toughness there. But I think probably also ingrained in Stingley's view of CJ is the fact that he gets to see him the other 95% of the week, too.
No, and I think the big thing, too, is that it really wasn't like there was a cacophony of vitriol directed at CJ Stroud this year from anywhere other than just, you know, typical fan stuff of, you know, opposing teams' fans talking smack to Texans fans. That's always going to happen. That's going to happen even if CJ's an all-pro next year. Yeah. Like, that's normal. I don't think there's many people around the league that really have doubts about CJ's potential, and they look at it for what it was, almost to the point where I don't think CJ Stroud was talked about a lot this year nationally in terms of, like, oh, is this it for, like, we didn't see weird headlines on ESPN or anything about, like, oh, CJ Stroud a one-hit wonder or anything like that. Because it was so clearly tied to the pass protection.
Yes.
Now, whereas, like, with Caleb Williams, he took a lot of sacks, but Caleb Williams took a lot of sacks that were his fault. Like, he took a lot that weren't his fault, but he also held onto the ball forever. With CJ, it was very easy to tie it to the poor pass protection, and then especially their inability to run the ball effectively meant that they were burning and wasting first downs and second downs all the time.
Yeah.
So CJ was in third and long all the time, to an extreme degree, and not getting good pass protection when he was in those situations. So I think that, like, by and large, when you think about the people that evaluate film or really watch with an educated eye around the league, they just want to see what CJ Stroud looks like with adequate pass protection this
year.
No
doubt. No doubt.
Because he was. I mean, you have the stat in here, which was, like, the very telling one. Mahomes had face pressure on 38.1% of his snaps in the Super Bowl and had the second worst performance of his career. That's lower than the average pressure that CJ Stroud faced this year.
That's right.
So, I mean, CJ is facing the type of pressure that Pat Mahomes got for one game and turned in one of the worst performances of his career. CJ was dealing with that regularly week to week and still did some really good things this year.
Yes.
So I don't think Stingley, and Stingley's not trying to frame this like people treated CJ poorly or anything.
No.
I think that it's easy to see where guys in the building weren't looking at CJ as the source of the problem.
No.
Or that CJ somehow had taken a step back.
I think if you ask guys like Stingley, like, how many interceptions did CJ throw this year, they may be way off on what they think it is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That was my takeaway. Like, why do we care about the numbers? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
he led us to 10 wins in a division championship while getting his head handed to him on a weekly basis.
Well, and I'll tell you the other thing, too, is there were multiple times this year where it started to be kind of a narrative or a theory as the season went along that, man, CJ just didn't seem as accurate. He made more errant throws than usual. And I think there was some validity to it. But there were also times where in games, CJ would have a few misfires, but it wasn't anything different than any good quarterback has. And then especially when you would go and watch it from the end zone, you'd realize, like, oh, wow, in real time from the sideline view or the TV copy, that looked like an errant throw, but it was actually a pretty good throw that the receiver didn't adjust to.
Yep.
Or it wasn't a horrible throw. It was just the receiver didn't make any effort at it. There were some, like, in the playoffs that misfired in Nico Collins. There were a few plays like that that just felt weird and different. But it wasn't nearly to the level that I think it felt like during games at times.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
And there were also some of those throws that on the TV copy, they looked like they were errant throws. And then you watch from the end zone and you realize, oh, he was getting hit from the side as was throwing that. Yep. And it just wasn't really apparent from the TV copy.
Yep. Text message, when did Sean become a Karen? First, the smelly kids that he kicked out of their seats at the Astros game.
Yeah.
First of all, that's the problem. They weren't their seats. They were clearly...
They came down and sat next to Sean and Amy in seats that were not theirs and did it while having really bad teenage body odor.
Horrific BO. Horrific BO. So I don't think I'm paying $100 a ticket to sit next to somebody who doesn't have those seats and they stink. If they smelled good, I would have let them sit there.
Sean doesn't carry around spare Old Spice to offer up to strangers, okay?
Yeah, I just carry it around for myself, okay?
Right.
So they point out, first the smelly kids at the Astros game. Now you report a guy that was smoking weed in your building just so he can deal with the stress of daily life.
It wasn't that Sean was reporting him for smoking weed. It was that it always smelled like weed and there were people coming and going all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? It was like, all right, well, this is something. This is on a level of, I don't want to be living next to an active drug dealer.
If I'm being literal, I wasn't the one who reported him for that. Like Amy and the girl that lived across the hall from him. Like everybody who lived next to or across from him, somebody in that apartment went to the building and said, this has to stop. You know, like, so it wasn't literally me.
I don't
think
there's an apartment building in America anymore where you're not going to smell weed a good amount of time walking past one of the doors. Like, it's not that. It was the sum total of the whole experience.
Well, you're not allowed to smoke in our building at all. Maybe I'm a Karen now, but like, I like smoking cigars. I don't smoke in our apartment or on the balcony. It's against the rules. I'd rather not be one of the ones getting evicted on our hallway.
I kind of like the smell of it when I walk past. It reminds me of college. I'm like, those are the days.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I didn't smoke in college. As many of you know, my dad was a prolific producer of marijuana, but I rebelled by not being a pot smoker. My dad would give me freezer bags full of pot that he thought I was going to sell, and I would just give them away. Because what the hell do you think I am, Dad? I'm not like I'd like to... I'm trying to have an NFL career here someday. I'd prefer the scouts not to be asking about my thriving drug business that I had. God. Okay.
Amy just texted me that she said that's definitely a $1,500 purse. She said that that I could have snagged from the evicted. Yeah, from the.
It sounds like you owe Amy $1,500.
That's how she's going to hear it probably. Valentine's Day coming up Friday for sure.
What's the most Karen thing you've ever done?
Probably. I'd have to think. I mean. Was the Astros game thing a Karen thing? Is that, you know, where I had those kids kicked back to their seats that they were supposed to be in?
I guess that was kind of Karen. Yeah. I don't know. I guess you could have told the kids. I don't know what you're supposed to do. If it was an offensive body odor, I guess you just live with it. How old were the kids?
They were like, they're old enough to have teenage BO. They were like 13. You
but
know,
they're also excited to be able to watch the bullpen.
Yeah, I didn't mention.
It's not
it.
Like they weren't necessarily. You wouldn't have like. It's not like they had awesome seats or anything, right? Like they weren't rich kids that were doing.
No,
it
we were out in the outfield, but Amy and I get the front. We like when we buy tickets. We like to get the front row, looking down into the bullpen. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Chop it up
and
with
they weren't
the fellas.
Their seats.
Yeah, yeah, they weren't their seats, and they stunk. Like I said, if they smelled good, they could have stayed. But
I think the most Karen thing I ever did was, and I felt like, I was like, oh boy, I guess I'm really an adult now. We were living at the beach, and we had this condo that was on the 7th floor overlooking the beach. And one day we're out there, it was like a Saturday or Sunday too, it was busy on the beach. And it was fun. One of the best things about having a place like that is that you get to enjoy the beach in the breeze and everything, but without getting sand all up and everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's just nice to sit out and have a drink on the porch. And I look down and I'm like, I see a couple of women setting up to do like some, like take some photos. And I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. Like they were next to like somebody had left a sailfish on the beach or something. And so they're taking some photos. And then they both take all their clothes off. And they're taking like explicit photos on the beach, like spread, legs spread, or like explicit, like not. This was not a tasteful artist, something or that. And it's on a Saturday on the beach where there's just loads and loads of children all around, like people,
hold
families
up.
And stuff. And I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And you could see, like, some of these people were just, like, they're moving their kids away from it and everything. And meanwhile, like, one girl's wrapping herself around the mast on the sailfish all that. So I think I need to call the cops. I just what the hell are they doing? So I called the cops on them.
Wow.
Because they were being lewd and lascivious in front of children.
Did you stay there to watch the cops? Did you stay and watch them with their photo session to make sure?
I needed to monitor. I wanted to be sure that the cops handled themselves professionally.
Yes.
So I stayed and I watched the entire scenario.
With your arms folded next to the sailfish.
No, it was one of those things, though, too, where it's like, okay, Brandy's in the house, too. And I'm like, I just want to sit out on the porch and enjoy. Brandy comes out and she's like, so what you looking at, Seth? And
it does affect your enjoyment. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, no, man. It was weird. It was really, really weird.
That
it was really
funny.
Weird.
That's funny.
It wasn't like I wouldn't have done if I were walking on a remote beach and I saw it or something, I would have like turned away and walked away. It wouldn't have been a big deal. It was like it was on a Saturday in peak family vacation time.
I would say if it, like in our building, I'm just thinking recently. Like, we live, you've been to our apartment, like, we look down onto the pool. We're, like, seven floors above the pool.
And yeah,
the pool,
I don't like that.
The pool's supposed to, I don't mind it. You can look down and see who's down there before you go. But, like, the pool closes at 10, end of subject, right? And so sometimes there'll be people out there, like, at midnight partying, sitting in the pool, and they're loud, and you can hear them from seven floors up. So I'll call security and tell them to get them the hell out of there, and then I sit.
That's
and
good Karen-ing.
That's pretty good Karen-ing. But they're breaking the rules. I like you know, and I got to go to sleep. I got to get up early. You know.
Yeah. I don't like. See, I don't like having a balcony that overlooks the pool because I don't want to be. It just feels. I don't want to be in a position where like I'm looking around or whatever, and like you're. I don't want to look like you're staring at the women at the pool.
No, our balcony faces north. Our balcony's on a different side of our apartment. Our wind to the west side. We can look down through the windows down at the pool, and you can
You lean with your forehead pressed up against the glass and just stare and stare.
I don't even need to do that. Like the pool's out far enough. Yeah. You just look down there. It's great. But you can hear. You can even though the glass is thick. You can still hear people partying down there, which is fine during the day.
I just, the more I've just realized as I get older, I just don't like being around people in general. Let me go stare at some trees.
There you go. All right, the beef we did not see coming from the Super Bowl. This is outstanding. A prominent figure from the, I would say, the late 90s in baseball, back in our lives. We'll tell you who got into a scrape on Bourbon Street coming up next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know.
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Mokarum Injury Lawyers Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
All right, Pain and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. So, Pat Mahomes Sr. and John Rocker did not see this beef coming at all at the Super Bowl at New Orleans. Now, it turns out, as I was doing some reading during the break, because I saw the video of the altercation between the two yesterday, like a lot of folks did, and then the subsequent tweets from both sides going back and forth and back and forth. Pat Mahomes Sr., who I think a lot of our audience knows, maybe not everybody, he was a Major League Baseball pitcher for 11 seasons throughout the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Kind of a journeyman. Since his playing career has been over, he's famous for really two things, I think. Spawning Patrick Mahomes Jr. and getting arrested 3 times for DWI.
It's probably one of those was a good move. the other, especially a good move because it probably helps the 3 DUIs go down a little bit easier.
Yes,
you know, okay, you can manage. You can probably afford an Uber.
Right.
You might have thought that after the first DUI that he could afford an Uber in all these situations.
Maybe.
But still,
yeah,
right.
maybe.
It is. I'll tell you one thing. It's a lot easier having 3 DUIs when you're the son of a guy with a $400 million contract.
Yes.
Than if you're broke.
Right.
Yes.
Resource is not an issue, for sure.
Yeah.
John Rocker, I think most of our audience knows, as the former closer for the Braves during the late 90s, who was maybe best known for two things, throwing a wicked fastball, and two, an interview he did with Jeff Pearlman in Sports Illustrated where he came across incredibly racist. And that's kind of followed him around. So the two of them got into a shouting match in the French Quarter. It would appear after the game at some point on Sunday, or it could have been Monday, I don't know at this point. But the video surfaced yesterday, Tuesday, showing the two, Rocker and Mahomes, involved in a physical altercation on Bourbon Street. It never got physical with punches being thrown because the people with Mahomes Sr. kind of pulled him away. And Rocker, who is yoked up, Rocker is a big dude these days.
He looks like a lot of guys you can see these days who work out hard and who are on testosterone replacement.
Yeah.
He looks pretty damn good.
He's ripped. Yeah. So the two end up getting separated, and there was never any punches thrown on Bourbon Street. And the way it started is Rocker appeared to approach Mahomes to strike up a conversation before they had to get separated. So something was said along the way, at least as far as the video would appear. Didn't take long for Rocker to take to social media to explain his side of it. He retweeted the video and said, "This bleeping loser can't take a damn joke. Wish I laid him out right there and ruined his bleeping weekend even more." Mahomes replied to that and said that you haven't changed a bit. Last 25 years, blah, blah, blah. They went back and forth. You know, with Rocker saying, you know, I'm going to beat him up, and Mahomes saying what a jerk Rocker is. So as it turns out, Seth, as I'm gathering from this article that I'm looking at that is now having a hard time loading, apparently Rocker was tweeting quite a bit during the Super Bowl about Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, not the dad. saying some saying some things about him, tweeting about him, saying things like his hair looks like pubes. yeah, here it is. It just pulled up. Patrick, this is what he tweeted during the game.
Like 80s pubes.
Patrick Mahomes' hair looks like overgrown pubes.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce should be ashamed of themselves. This is what happens to egotistical pricks.
Wow.
Mahomes sacked two plays in a row, then throws an interception. Overrated. All caps. And then he has one that I don't even know if I can read that involves Roger Goodell and Monica Lewinsky and Patrick Mahomes somehow. So so you can connect the dots there. As it turns out, all right, so before we get to as it turns out, what was your shock level of seeing these two in a video jawing at
one
another?
The first, when I saw the video, I thought it looked like maybe Pat Mahomes Sr. was in some kind of an argument with somebody else and that it looked like Rocker might have been stepping in to kind of be a peacekeeper.
Yeah.
And Pat Mahomes wanted no part of it. So it looked at that point like, oh, Pat Mahomes Sr. was just whatever he was angry about. It was him versus the world. But with all of this information, it seems like there might be more to it.
Yeah, there's more to it. My biggest thing was like, okay, I got to make sure with Twitter nowadays, you got to make sure it's not somebody sarcastically saying it's John Rocker. And it just happens to be a dude that looks like John Rocker. It's definitely John Rocker, and here's how we know why. There's the possibility that this viral video was staged in an effort to hype up the exhibition boxing match between the two. This is according to AthlonSports.com. At Barstool Sports' Rough and Rowdy event, which was confirmed by Barstool founder Dave Portnoy last week, though the contract hasn't been officially signed yet. Either way, between the footage of their tense altercation and the war of words exchanged on X on Tuesday night, both are putting on quite a show for their fans right now.
Wait, now wait. What was the timeline of the contract for that's only been out there since this altercation?
This is the first I've heard it. Well, the contract has not been signed yet.
Right. Okay. I didn't know. I thought, but there wasn't evidence that okay, this was already in the works before this altercation.
I'll read the paragraph again.
Yeah.
I'm just reading what's in this report. Of course, there's also the possibility the viral video was staged in an effort to hype up the exhibition boxing match between the two at Barstool Sports' Rough and Rowdy event, which was confirmed by Barstool founder Dave Portnoy last week, though the contract hasn't been officially signed yet.
So it was confirmed last week, and then now these guys are going at it. Okay,
yes,
so this is all. This is definitely just pre-fight hype.
Yeah.
All right, now I know this is how it goes. You got to remember, this is boxing, not MMA. You look at the videos, and you think, okay, in a street fight, I feel like Pat Mahomes Sr., no matter what he might have been in his youth, wouldn't have a shot versus John Rocker.
Broken
as long as John
knee.
Rocker's got any kind of training whatsoever.
Yes.
In an MMA fight, boxing's a whole different deal. I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to see Pat Mahomes Sr.'s training videos before I say that he does that. Boxing, it doesn't, man. The weight, when you're talking about amateurs, the weight classes don't end up meaning as much as long as it's a pure boxing match. If a guy's got extreme skills, even as an old man, I refer you to the movie Million Dollar Baby.
Yes.
Where Morgan Freeman took on a young punk one-handed.
Yes.
I don't know. So now I gotta watch. I'm in. They hooked me. They hooked me. I got to see Pat Mahomes Sr. in action in the gym. Dude, now that I know that this is a work almost definitely, Pat Mahomes can't be dealing with this crap, man. What is it with him and his What is it with his family? Like it's embarrassing between his brother Jackson and his father. Like, I know it's hard to feel sympathy for Pat Mahomes about a lot of things. I do feel bad for him that he's got a circus sideshow of a family.
Yeah.
It's just got to be a pain in the ass.
He doesn't, I mean, obviously it doesn't seem to burden him too much. You know what I mean? Like, he's got his commercials.
He can't be super stoked about it. You know, like, he can't come out and just say, you know, like, oh yeah, I'm sick of my family.
I think where the rubber might meet the road there would be if all of a sudden he were getting dragged down into it. Like, somehow that were affecting his commercials, what people thought about him. Most of the people, I mean, honestly, a lot of the people who watch Patrick Mahomes, Seth, we may overestimate just how many people actually know who Jackson Mahomes is and who Pat Mahomes Sr. is among just the average person in America that watches sports casually. Probably a lot of them don't even know. I would bet that Patrick Mahomes has a dad who pitched in Major League Baseball and don't know who Jackson Mahomes is. But yes, inside this bubble we're in, we're pretty acutely aware of it. But it's not affecting Mahomes, like, it's not affecting Mahomes LLC at all. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right, right. Well, it's just, and generally, people with athletes, they try to, for the most part, like, the major media and everything, try to stay hands-off. Like, because it's not a reflection on Pat Mahomes himself.
No.
If none of it were public, though, it's still a pain in the ass.
For sure, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, with Jackson Mahomes, a lot of it, it is the public side of it that would be the pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because he used to be just so cringy before he got into his little scrape up with the law.
Yep.
And now he's pretty quiet about everything.
Yeah.
That part of it, I feel for guys like that who are in high profile situations and that also do have, like, you could tell probably a lot of drama going on in their private lives that they have to handle and deal with just because people act like jackasses.
Someone said rough and rowdy is extremely dirty boxing, no skill.
Oh,
that's even better. Yeah,
yeah. I don't think I've ever seen a rough and rowdy.
I haven't either. Okay. I'm totally watching it now, though. I know it's a work, and they got me sucked in completely. But that's the wrestling
Rocker thing. Looks good, but he definitely looks like middle-aged good in that he's got a fit. He's real built in his upper body, but you can tell he's got chicken legs.
I could see him. I could see him getting gassed like halfway into the first round. Like that looks like a guy who would get tired swinging. You know,
Rocker. I did an event with Rocker, Thurman Thomas, and a few other guys at the Atlanta Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
With it set up by Billy D. Washington. He does this kind of comedy event. Yeah. You get up and you it's kind of like an improv style thing.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of fun. But it was cool. I got to know Thurman Thomas and John Rocker get along really well.
Yeah.
And I talked to Thurman Thomas about it. And Thurman Thomas was like, yeah, I know he's got this public personality and everything. The first time I met him, I was like, what's the deal with this guy? I was like, I don't know, man. I have a good time hanging out with him. He's
good for Thurman. Just judge it. Yes, you judge people based on how they treat you, man. Yeah, like that's good for Thurman. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. We haven't done this in a while, but now that the season's over, guess what's out? Power rankings. Yes. We're going to power rank the power rankings early, way too early, 2025. That's coming
up. It's never too early, Sean.
Way too early coming up next.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.